In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Radio show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. They hear the lamentation of your women.
Welcome to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and podcast at comicbookdaily.com. We are the radio show, the champions, the local comic book store. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's own Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your Lee and Kirby.
Kings of the world of comic books.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Lee and Kirby.
Oh,
I remember those guys.
Remember those two guys? Yeah, you know,
they did some good work back in the day.
Back in the day, I hear they might have created a character or two.
Yes, they did. Yeah. They did good work back in the early '60s. Chris, you being the comic book historian, I bet you can take the hour just talking about these guys.
I can tell you all about all their creations and everything. But you know what? That's not what we're all about here today.
No, it's not. Today is Wednesday. We're here to talk about new comic books that are coming out this week to your local comic book store, and we're here to talk about this week's industry news in the world of comic books.
The world of comic books,
right? And Chris, we are going to go right into New This Week, and I believe you are going to read the sponsor.
Yes, I am. New This Week is brought to you by MODOK. Attention, subhumans. Your intellectual superior MODOK requires you to send gifts. Appropriate gifts are size quintuple XL for heads or terribly small pants.
Yes.
Brought to you by MODOK.
MODOK.
And you know, it was actually, back in March, it was March MODOK Madness going on.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and it's too bad that MODOK, I mean, I know they invested a lot of money into the commercials here on our show, but they never really left contact information or where you could go.
No.
Google it, I think. I think you'll be okay.
That's probably a good idea. Probably right. Very good. Yeah.
Chris.
Okay.
As always, we're going to jump right into New This Week.
New This Week. So what's going on for New This Week?
Well, guys and girls that are heading into the local shops will see Journey into Mystery, Fear Itself. And they're going to wonder, what the heck's going on? Journey into Mystery number 622. What's all that about? Well, it's Thor. They've retitled the series Journey into Mystery.
Right. And of course, now, for those of you who aren't comic historians like myself,
right,
you may not be privy to the knowledge that Journey into Mystery is actually the original comic that Thor appeared in way back in the day.
In August 1962?
That's right.
Journey into Mystery number 83 introduced the character. It didn't introduce the character Thor, obviously, but it introduced Marvel's version of the Thor Norse god of thunder.
Right, and you know what? Just before we get into that, just to briefly tell you, the reason why it was called Journey into Mystery is that they had all these different titles. Like, Marvel was actually part of all these sort of pulp comics and things like that back in the day, and they had all these sort of pulp titles, and Journey into Mystery happened to be one of them, and so Timely owned that title, and so they started creating comics, and hence the name Journey into Mystery.
Right. There were a few. There were Strange Tales, Tales to Astonish, Tales of Suspense, Journey into Mystery. They were all published by Atlas in the late 50s, and then when went over to Marvel and they started introducing heroes, they introduced them as characters in these books.
Yeah, yeah.
And as they say, the rest is history.
Right.
Now, with this, it's also the first tie-in to the big Marvel Fear Itself mega.
Right, right.
Mega
it's the first one as a regular ongoing series sort of thing.
First
time. It's not like an offshoot or anything. This is actually happening in the regular series.
Right. Yeah. Next week or the week after, we have The Mighty Thor number one.
Yes. Well, you know, of course, with the movie coming out, we've got all kinds of Thor stuff coming out. And so now Marvel is going to push as much Thor stuff as possible. And so why not have The Mighty Thor coming out?
Marvel is pushing Thor, people.
I'm Thor.
Yes. Now, Chris, which one's going to survive? Obviously, Thor. I won't say obviously. That's wrong. Thor probably cannot hold two titles.
Well, you know what? It's hard to say. It depends on how good they are, right? I mean, Spider-Man can hold 85 titles.
That's Spider-Man.
I'm just saying, you know, well, okay, you know, years ago you would not have said that Captain America could have held two titles.
They still can't.
They tried it, but yeah, well, he's in like 14 titles right now.
14 titles because the movie's coming out right now, okay. And there's 14 titles.
Okay, fair enough.
Talk to me in 3 months.
I'm just saying that it's possible. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, anything's possible.
Geez, what a pessimist you are today.
Chris, SpongeBob SquarePants number 2.
Yes.
And, is in your local comic shops today.
Well, you know what's interesting about this particular comic? I like the fact that this is being published, and believe it or not, the SpongeBob comic is actually being published by Bongo Comics, which does all the Simpsons-related comic books. So I think it's great that they're sort of branching out onto another cartoon-related series, and SpongeBob is going to be great. I mean, I think it's going to be one of those titles that adults could read it and really get a kick out of it, even though it's meant to be for kids, but I think it's really, you know, it's kind of like one of those crossover kind of titles.
Yeah, well, listen, my kids, they love SpongeBob, and guess what? So do I. That is some funny, funny stuff. My birthday's coming up, and I want a Patrick. No, this guy.
I certainly hope you're talking about the starfish, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
This guy, Derek. Oh, I get it now.
Hey-o.
Shame on you.
I know, I'm sorry.
This guy, Derek Dryman, he's writing the stories. Now, what I don't know, I didn't do my homework. I didn't prepare. I don't know if he's one of the writers on the show or not.
Okay.
So that's a bad on me, but what makes SpongeBob work is the writing.
Right.
The comic timing. It's really
fantastic.
Funny.
Fantastic. Yeah, yeah, it's very good.
So I'm glad to see SpongeBob out there. And buy it for yourself. Buy it for your nephews or nieces or kids. But just give that one a spin today.
All right.
All right. And I hold in my hand Flash number 10. That is the road to Flashpoint.
Yes. Now, of course, DC is doing this whole Flashpoint thing going on right now, and it's going to be their major crossover, major huge event for the summer kind of thing. And,
yeah, and you know what? Since you and I know nothing about Flashpoint, we're just going to end that right
you know,
there.
It's not that I don't know anything, but I don't know enough. I don't, you know, I'm
okay,
so...
Okay, which is more than I know.
Okay, I'm just so disinterested.
Interesting.
In it because I'm just so sick of all the major crossovers that, you know, I don't know.
I hear you, but listen, fans rejoice, though, because Jeff Johns is writing and our friend Francis Manapul is doing the art.
Yes, yes. Okay, a great Canadian guy there, Francis Manapul, always willing to do sketches for people at conventions. And,
right, for a measly good, $800.
Well, no. You know, it depends on the show. Sometimes he does them for free.
$600?
No, sometimes he does them for free. Sometimes he does them for, like, you know, a little bit of money. But, you
right.
know, the guy's...
Hey, the man's got to make a living.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right. You know? All right. Chris, that's going to take us out of industry news.
All right. That's going to take us out of
take us out
new
of
this
new
week.
This week. So please head into your local comic book shop and check out everything that is new this week.
And just so our fans know, there is an opening for co-host of Comic Culture because clearly one guy can't quite cut the mustard here. But oh, he's got nothing to say to me. I've stupefied him. Anyways, let's move on to industry news here. And industry news is brought to you by Fin Fang Foom. As an extraterrestrial dragon, I am unable to vote despite my superior intellect. So a gentle reminder to register to vote or I will burn down your house.
Very nice. Now, I am taken aback because after being dissed so heavily... I noticed that there was no musical interlude between New This Week and Industry News.
I was, you know what, I was just trying to you know, change things up a bit, but if you're that upset about
it. No, it's good, Chris. You're right, because you and I wanted to talk about, quickly throw in before the
I
music
want to talk hits. About the show.
The show, yeah. We were at the show, the Toronto Comic Con that happened April 9th, 10th at the Metro Toronto Convention Center. Chris and I were both there, as were most of the guys from Comic Book Daily.
Yeah, you know what? It was a great show. Again, it was one of those shows where it's not like the Fan Expo in August. It is sort of like a mini version of that. There's all kinds of like people dressed up. It's all comic related. So there's no horror stalls. There's no like science fiction stalls and all that kind of stuff. It's really mainly about the comic books. It's mainly about comic artists and just sort of celebrating everything that's comic books. And it's a really good show. I had a great time. I bought a couple of statues while I was there from our friends out at the pardon me, the comics addiction up in Oshawa. And you know what?
Whitby.
Sorry, Whitby. And good guys. And the show was really, really great.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot of fun. For comic book fans, this was a great show. Pure comic books. It was, how can I say this? If you, from all gamuts of comic book collecting and reading, so you had graphic novels represented in a lot of booths.
Yeah.
Heavy, deep selections of graphic novels, discounted nicely, like at shows. That's what happens at shows. You get a whole bunch of guys getting all happy. Yeah, I'm bringing these 20 boxes of graphic novels. Yeah. I'm going to sell them. And then you realize the guy right beside you has graphic novels. So he goes 10 off, you go 20 off, he goes 30 off. And then happens is the people through the door get great deals.
That's right.
There were bargain bins galore.
But you know what I also like about this show is that unlike the show that we were at a couple weeks ago, our good friend Harley Yee was at this show. And he is one of the major dealers
right.
in North America. He does, what is it, something like 40 shows a year.
I think he does 620 shows a year. I don't know how he does it, but
he is an incredible, incredible human being.
And also, Jamie Graham was there from Graham Crackers in Chicago.
Yeah.
A great guy. He owns 9 stores in the Chicagoland area, but he's also heavily into old comics. So between those two guys, they had all the important comic books, the thousands upon thousands of dollar comic books. You had dealers that had the hundreds of dollar comic books, and then you had dealers that had the $10 comic books, and then you had dealers that had the 50-cent comic books.
Yeah, no, it's a great show.
So if you're a comic fan, this was the place to be.
Absolutely. And, you know, and just to add to that, there's all the guys that had just toys and original art and statues and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, there was a few guys with toys, but you're right. Artist Alley was good. I like the Artist Alley. There were a lot of good artists. We'll talk about that later. But and like you said, there were a lot of good sketches to be had.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, friends of ours like Leonard Kirk and stuff
were
there.
Yeah, he was there.
It was a very positive show. It was a totally different. It was kind of the antithesis of the Wizard World show.
And you know what? Our good friend Scott Vanderplug, he was getting a sketch by one of the artists there. And, you know, because it's a bit of a toned down show, so these artists were sort of taking their time. They weren't rushing through sketches like they would normally. And man, Scott got this fantastic, just absolutely fantastic sketch from one of the artists there of Galactus, and it blew my mind. And it was a really great sketch. I think it was by Q Cha, I think the artist's name was.
Right. And Scott also wrote something on Comic Book Daily. He was talking to he had some rumors for the show from the show.
Right.
So he was talking to the promoter of the Montreal Comic Con.
Yeah, that's
which,
right.
Which goes in September, late September or mid-September. September 17th, 18th.
Yep.
The Montreal Comic Con. The rumors are that this guy named Guardino, I guess his name is Guardino.
I'm not going to say it right. It's Yuanyo Guardino. But anyway, he is the artist that
And I'd like that medium rare, please.
He does that Black Sad comic, which is absolutely fantastic. And anybody that is ever wondering if you know how graphic novels can be made, or if they can do a good crime noir graphic novel, and they haven't read any of the Darwin Cook stuff, you got to check out Black Sad. It is absolutely phenomenal stuff. The art is fantastic, and
unbelievable, and the
stories are great.
Unbelievable.
And if these stories aren't made for you know cinematic multi-million-dollar movies, I don't know what isn't because these things are fantastic.
Right. And the rumor still is that Stan Lee still will be at that show.
And apparently Jack Kirby might actually be at that show as well.
No, actually it's not.
Oh.
The rumor was that CGC will be holding a seance.
Oh, a seance. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
So everybody will hold hands and raise the spirit of Jack Kirby.
And then you get some sort of spiritual imprint on
right.
your comic. Yeah.
Beautiful. And another rumor floating around, I don't know if it's true or not, Guy Lafleur will be there. So.
Ah, wee wee. All right. Well, I think we've offended enough Montrealers already. So let's cut right into a little bit of the old Spider-Man music. This one's called the Cosmopolitan Museum. Thank you.
Oh, Chris, the sounds of James Brown on that Hammond organ. Love it. Love it. That is a good tune. Swinging.
Well, you know what? Spider-Man was swinging. Get it?
See
what,
hey, that,
see
that
what
works.
I did there? See what I did there? It's
okay. Right. Let's
hit it right out of the park on that one, didn't I? All righty.
Let's move on, Chris, to industry news. And you already did.
I already said the announcement.
So we're going to continue with industry news. So we're thrown off a little bit because of the musical segue.
Oh, sorry.
Let's talk about a little bit serious topic right at the very beginning. And you and I like to talk about comic sales figures at least once a month.
Yeah, every once in a while, give our audience listeners an idea of how well comics are actually selling out in the industry and what's going on. Yeah, for sure.
So we're talking about March, and we're talking about Fantastic Four number one was by far – no. Oh, my. What did I just say?
Fantastic Four. It's not Fantastic
it's
Four.
It's Future Endeavor. No. It's Future – it is Future Foundation.
Future Foundation
yes,
is what it's called.
Yes, that's what it is.
Future Endeavor, yeah.
Yes.
That's what I'll be having after this show because I need a new career.
Future Foundation, number one. Outsold the Green Lantern by, 40,000 or so. It was the only one that hit 100,000, 114,000 in sales. Green Lantern, number two, at 76,000 in sales. So, obviously, the fans came out in force for the Future Foundation to see what it was all about. Spider-Man joining the old FF. But generally speaking, the trend for comic sales is still on the way down. You're talking about Green Lantern doing well, Batman doing well, Brightest Day doing well. But Marvel, beside the FF, really their only entry, the traditional comic entry, was the Avengers in the top 10.
Yeah, Avengers was Avengers number 11 was in the top 10, but we also had Kick-Ass number 2.
Okay,
which
I'm talking about traditional comic properties.
Well,
never cracked the top 10.
Fair enough.
For Marvel, except Avengers.
Yeah, I'm just saying that it is a Marvel title.
All right, and cracking the top 25 was interesting. You and I talked about it last week. Was the Godzilla King of the Monsters number 1?
But hold on a second here. Is this because of the covers that were, because of all the different dealer incentives and each dealer had to buy like 85,000?
500.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, that clearly is going to boost sales.
That's
a little
absolutely
bit.
Right. Yeah. And that's what it's about.
Let's wait and see what issue number 2 is going to sell.
Exactly.
Right?
Good point.
I mean,
it might
be 2,000.
You know what? Good point. I think write a note to yourself if you know how to do that.
Note to self
that we'll track Godzilla. 58,000 copies of Godzilla Kingdom of Monsters number 1 sold. We will report in a month's time how much copies of number 2 sold.
You know, when I wanted to track Godzilla when I was younger, I used to look at Monster Island. This is a completely different way of tracking Godzilla.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
you're absolutely
right.
I had no idea what he said there, but I'm just
But there's a few Godzilla fans out there that will know what I'm talking about, so it's all good.
Okay. Chris, we're going to also talk about graphic novels.
Yes.
And in March, they were also down 6.5%. Actually, for the first quarter, they were down close to 10%.
10%?
10%
decrease. That's not good.
In graphic novel sales, which you're right, it isn't good. And that is largely because there was no really big thing coming out.
Right.
You're talking about Unwritten.
Well, okay, but hold on. Can we just back beep? Beep, beep, beep. Just back this up a
beep.
Bit. Because I'm wondering, is this the state of comics? Is this the way it's going to go from now on? Is that in order for comics to have any kind of sales, it has to be a big thing. It has to be a big venture. It has to be a huge storyline.
Well, why not? Like that's what movies need, right? I mean, you're always looking for that big hyped release to get the big thing, right?
I guess so. I'm just hoping, there's so many good comics out there that aren't necessarily part of the big blockbuster sort of vision
I don't think the industry is doing a good enough job selling the graphic novel as an alternative to a movie and a video game.
Right. I agree. But you know what? I also think I don't think the industry is doing a good enough job as selling a graphic novel as its own entity, without even having any kind of tie-in to, not even as a replacement to a movie or a video game or anything like that. Like, let's get graphic novels that have, nothing to do with movies or television or video games and things like, blankets
Chris, I totally I'm agreeing with you, but like I said though, do that and don't have movie in mind. Don't don't do your graphic novel as a storyboard to a hopeful movie.
Right, right.
But my point is in the pop culture world, we're not selling the concept of the graphic novel as an option. Like, let's say, hey, oh, man, I got like Friday night, man. I got like 20 bucks. What do I do, right? So it's like you can go rent some video games or whatever, play some video games.
Yeah.
You can go to the movies with your buddies. But nobody says, well, what graphic novel should I take and read?
You know what? Right. You've just brought up a very good point. And I think this might be one of the problems. You believe it or not, you did. I know it's hard to believe. But this may be one of the problems that comic books has is that it's not social enough. There isn't a way for people to get together. I mean, I've done it with my friends where I get together and because I'm a huge nerd, right? We all get together. Like when Kingdom Come came out, we'd all read Kingdom Come number one and then we'd talk about it. But like I'm like, you know, like a 0.1%
that
would have
like
done that.
Scariest,
yeah, I know,
right
I know.
There.
It's ridiculously nerdy, but you know, but I mean, that was, you know, A, when I was younger, and B, I think I'm an extreme minority that would get together and do that with their friends, right? Like, I don't think it's a social enough endeavor that people want to get together and read comics as a social gathering, right? It would be seen as pretty weird. Right.
I guess you're right. I guess you're right. I mean, reading a graphic novel is like reading a book in a way,
right.
And it's a very kind of solitary thing.
For sure.
But I still think the industry could sell it as a viable option to entertain yourself.
I think if somebody could come up with a way of making it more of a social aspect to involve more people at one time, I think this industry could really fly off the shelves.
You know what? And I'm going to 100% agree with you there, because there have been examples of that happening. And the last huge success of what you talk about, Chris, like that, was the Civil War.
Right.
And what happens is when you have a great event happening, nobody wants to wait for the trade. The trade is a solitary endeavor, right?
Yeah.
No. When something good happens and it touches the social consciousness or whatever, community comes in, social community comes in, and everybody reads that first issue. They run
right
into
away,
the store
yeah.
on the Wednesday.
Yeah.
They blog about it. They post it on whatever sites they post it on. People go on and read it, and they comment on it. It becomes very social, right?
For sure.
They're forecasting what the big surprise ending will be, all that kind of stuff. So,
but like even beyond that, I think it would be great if we can somehow encourage communities to get together and do more things like comic jams, where people get together and they draw comics, they write comics, they talk about comics. You know, people organize little events in and of themselves and say, hey, let's all get together. Let's read this particular issue. And it's almost like a comic of the month club. You know how people do book clubs? Well, why not have like a comic club or something like that, where people get together and actually they all have to read a particular graphic novel and then talk about it afterwards. Right?
Absolutely right. You're absolutely right. All right, Chris.
We'll okay, sorry. That. Sorry, I didn't mean to...
No, that's good, though. That's good. Comics should be more social.
Yes, I agree.
Let's move on. Hey, this is a great story. So, Nicolas Cage, back 10 years ago, he had Action Comics number one stolen from him.
Yeah.
And apparently it surfaced. They found what they think was Nicolas Cage's stolen Action One in some sort of remember that show the what is it, the where you go into and you buy the storage units, and there's a show on TV.
Storage Wars, right.
And it's one of these concepts where these guys went into one of these storage units and they found this book because the guy couldn't pay his storage fees.
Right.
And, you know, figure that out. Eh? He's got a $1 million comic in there, and he couldn't pay his storage fees. Well, they found this book, and Metropolis Comics, I believe, that sold him the book, has kind of verified that they think this is the Nicolas Cage stolen book.
Right.
And now they found it.
Which is incredible, because this is 10 years ago that they found it. I'm surprised it's not in some collector's basement in some sort of vault or something like that. Instead, it was sitting in a storage unit for how many years?
San Fernando or somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. And so this show, I guess, is going to feature the finding of this book, I think, on one of these TV shows.
Well, I mean, I was reading that it looks like they don't know if they're actually going to give the comic book back to Nicolas Cage, because the insurance company has already paid him for what they figured he was stolen for, right?
Right.
You know, which I think is a good thing, because he needs to make money somehow, because all of his movies stink these days.
Right. He didn't have insurance on his career.
No, if only he had, really.
Right.
If only he had.
Right. Well, I mean, any time Action One, this is exciting.
I think that more actors should invest in action ones than in their careers sometimes.
Yeah, I think you might be
right. I'm just saying, you know. And then have them quote-unquote stolen, and then perhaps they could, you know, cash in as well.
Chris, what are you implying?
I'm not implying anything. I'm just saying that, anyways, continue on.
It's too bad MC Hammer didn't have an action one. He should have bought one back in the day.
Maestro Fresh West.
Yeah, he definitely should have bought one.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, well, let's see what else we have here.
Okay.
Oh, no. I have, before you go into another musical segue, I wanted to talk about Ethan Van Shriver.
Or Skyver, yeah.
Ethan Van Shriver.
Yeah.
He had some art stolen, too.
Yeah.
At a recent, I think at the WonderCon that was in San Diego 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago. So the great part about this story is, so it's stolen.
Yep.
And then, like, 3 days later, it's on eBay.
Turns up on eBay. And,
how dumb is that
guy?
The
stupidity of people often boggles me, but you know what? I'm not going to get in on some sort of diatribe about that.
Right. Now, the story, this was off of Bleeding Cool. The story has it that the guy that posted it on eBay sent a letter to Ethan apologizing, saying him and his son bought a whole bunch of stuff off a guy in the hallway and that type of thing.
Right.
And then, but you read down in the article and it says the thieves were described by people at the show as one man and his young kid.
Oh.
Right? So, but that's all hearsay and stuff like that. So the thing though is, what do you do there? I mean, you're walking down the aisle and a guy says, hey, you want to buy some art? Like,
maybe it did happen.
You assume that it's stolen?
You know,
what happens there?
Well, you know, I've been to lots of shows, as you have, and you go into the lobby of some of these shows, especially like old hotel conventions where there's like, you know, places for people to sit down and kind of hang out for a while and, you know.
Hookers to talk to.
Comic-Con hookers. Yeah.
Right.
I'm telling you right now, if hookers ever went to a Comic-Con, they would make a fortune. Anyway.
Just dress as Leia. That's all you got to do.
I'm just saying.
Slave girl Leia, that is.
Somebody get this big Wookiee out of my way. Anyways. You know, but some people start chatting with each other, and sometimes, you know, you end up talking to somebody that wants to sell comics or something, wants to sell artwork or something like that. And so you wouldn't think that it's going to be automatically stolen. You just think that this guy brought this stuff to sell at the convention and maybe didn't get a chance to sell it because he was asking too much money, and why not sell it to some guy in the lobby?
Right. I think the clue would have been, though, like when he accepted the $10 offer. I think, wait a minute here.
I'll take whatever I can get.
Yeah, just give it to me.
Yeah.
All right, Chris. Enough of thievery. Enough of stolen things. This Ra's al Ghul guy in Batman.
Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah. He's a villain. So in the new movie, they're doing a flashback scene, and apparently some actor named Josh Pence is getting the role as a young Ra's al Ghul.
Right. So Liam Neeson played the older Ra's al Ghul in the first Batman Begins movie. And so now we've got Josh Pence. So I guess they're going to have some sort of flashback to the old, you know, when he was training or something like that.
Right, like a young Ra's al Ghul.
Right.
Which it's news coming out of the Batman movie. There's a lot of news on the internet about the Batman movie. It's funny how, as the script develops, it immediately the web picks up on it, and you know the actors is hired for it. People are very in tune to developments on these big movies.
Oh, for sure.
Like in the old days, I'm sorry. Before I lose my train of thought, in the old days, it's like, okay, you know, a movie's gone into production and, you know, 2 years later, 3 years later, here it is.
Right.
Now it's like, you know, you have like spies on waiting for something to happen and they report it, and it's quite interesting.
Well, and you know what's funny is that this is relatively new, but it did happen back in the day as well. I mean, now, of course, with social media, and it's much easier to film something with cameras and all that kind of stuff. It's way easier to get information than it was maybe a few years ago. But did you know that when they were first filming – Star Wars Return of the Jedi, they had to call it Blue Harvest in order to make sure that people would be not so aware of what the film was actually called, because they were trying to fool the public. So this sort of thing was happening years ago, but not nearly to the degree that it's happening now.
Right. Fair enough. All right. Chris, we're going to move on because there's, I don't know how, but there's just tons of stuff to report happening. Hey, I'm very, very happy to announce more movie news. And that is our friend Richard Comley.
Yes.
Is reporting that tentatively he's found, he has signed a deal to produce a Captain Canuck movie.
Which is absolutely fantastic. And Richard Comley has been on the show before. And now it looks like his creation, along with, he was actually a co-creator, but
right.
His creation is going to be coming a movie, which is
right.
fantastic.
You know what? And you and I have talked about it before. You come on Comic Culture and you get a movie deal.
Yeah, that seems to happen, eh? Like, you know, Bloodhounds, they went ahead and they were on our show, and then they have an animated series. Now Richard Comley's on our show, and now he has his own movie coming out. Like, you know, this is the show to be on.
It's good. So the movie deal is, apparently Richard says, when I talk to him anyway, that he says that it will be probably $25 million plus budget.
That's fantastic.
To produce the movie.
That's fantastic.
So, but the thing is obviously it's initial stages, and they have to find, now they're going to go out and find money for the movie. But I don't know, Chris. I mean, if from what's going on in the industry, it should be relatively easy to find money for comic book movies.
I would think so. But, you know, my question to you is, if they're actually going to go ahead and make this Captain Canuck movie, who do you think should star as Captain Canuck? I mean,
hey, you know what? Good question.
There should be a Canadian actor, don't you think?
I think Comley was high on Justin Bieber starring.
Well, see, I was going briefly down the list of you know, Canadian actors that could play it, and I thought maybe Bruno Gerussi.
Bruno Gerussi.
You know, from
Beachcombers.
Beachcombers.
I love it. I think in, you know, a Rick Mercer.
Well, you know, I would suggest Ryan Reynolds because he's already been
Deadpool. Is he Canadian?
Well, he's Canadian. He's
already, and
he's
perfect.
He's already been Deadpool. He's going to be Green Lantern, and now he can be Captain Canuck too.
You know, why not, like, Guy Lafleur?
Hey, there you go.
He can go to the Montreal Comic Con.
Hold on. Right. I got one that beats them all. Two words. Don Cherry.
No. You see, Don Cherry would be some sort of villain.
The broadcaster.
You know what? If they decide not to go with a Canadian, like Joel Gerard or something.
I like that Joel Gerard kid.
You know what, though? It's exciting news. Wolverine, he's a Canadian superhero.
Yeah, but...
But he was developed in the American system, in the Marvel machine. He was, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a little
whereas
different.
This is a homegrown product.
Yeah.
Looking to be on the cusp of making it big. And we wish Captain Canuck and Richard Comley Godspeed, and we want a movie soon.
Absolutely.
Very exciting.
Absolutely. You know what? And this has nothing to do with any kind of Captain Canuck or anything, but we haven't played it in a while, and I know you've been asking me for it, so I thought I'd give us a little bit of the old Aquaman theme.
Aquaman. King of the sea, where the danger is, that's where he'll be, always defending you, yeah, you and me. Aquaman, he can swim faster than the fastest thing in the sea or on the land. With Mira, his beautiful queen beside him, he'll fight with all his might. You can always depend on mankind's truest friend, Aquaman.
Mm-hmm. Chris, I love that tune we haven't heard in a while since, like, last week.
Okay, you know what? I thought you had told me that you wanted to hear it again. Maybe I had forgotten that
No, you're right there. I want to hear that all the time.
But I don't know if our fans do.
Good point.
Wait. We don't have fans. Yeah. So it doesn't matter
anyways.
Chris.
Deadpool.
Yes.
Okay, so... a new Deadpool is in the works. It's called X-Men...
Origins Deadpool.
Origins Deadpool, thank you. And so it looks like it's getting green-lighted. And it looks like they found a director, Tim Miller, who was some sort of special effects guy.
For the two X-Men movies. Bryan Singer did, yeah.
Right, and a Scott Pilgrim versus the World. And this is his directing debut.
Right.
So... my question is, okay, Deadpool, very popular with a young crowd these days.
Yeah, oh, very popular. Yeah,
Deadpool,
absolutely, yeah.
I think, who played Deadpool? Reynolds?
Here's the thing. So Ryan Reynolds played Deadpool in the X-Men Wolverine movie,
yes.
X-Men Origins Wolverine movie. But now he's been cast as Hal Jordan, but apparently now there's a possibility that he may be reprising his role as Deadpool for the X-Men Origins Deadpool movie.
Right.
So, and why not make him Captain the Canuck while you're at it? Like, I mean, he's doing everything.
That is a good point.
Really.
That is a good point. Now, you know how Marvel boys and DC fanboys are kind of very loyal to their thing? Who claims Ryan Reynolds as their own?
Well, I think it's going to have to be depending on how well... the movie makes out, but our engineer is telling me that it's Marvel because he's two characters. He's been Deadpool and who else? And Hannibal King. Oh, from Blade 3. That's right. He wasn't Blade. That's right. I forgot. He wasn't Blade.
Oh,
right.
Yes. You know what? I think they should do a Marvel versus DC miniseries on who has the rights to use Ryan Reynolds as an actor.
I think that's excellent.
Some sort of crossover event.
Excellent idea. Yeah.
No, but that's good. It's good that Deadpool is coming out. Scheduled 2014. There looks like Variety, anyway, is reporting that there is money behind it. I'm just not sure of going with an unproven director. I mean,
you never know. I mean, here's a guy that actually worked on the two X-Men movies, so it's possible that he could do very well.
Yeah, he was like the grip.
Yeah, he wasn't the grip. He did special effects for it. I mean, he wasn't just some sort of, you know, lackey or something like that. Like, he probably did good stuff.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
All right,
let's move on.
Yeah. World War Z.
Well, it depends if you're American or Canadian.
Right. They're doing a movie on the Max Brooks. This was a book that was massively popular in the comic book shops.
Yes.
It sold well in the comic book shops, just as well as in your Borders and your Barnes and Nobles and Chapters. And it was kind of an oral history of the fight against the zombies.
Right. It was supposed to be like, you know, as if it's World War II, World War III, World War I, World War Z, right.
Against the zombies. Yeah. And they've optioned this movie for it, and it looks like it's going ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't read it, but I know people that have, and they said it's actually a really fun, good book to read kind
right,
of thing.
Right.
Yeah,
so. And the power of zombies continues.
Yeah,
which... The zombies... does not die.
No, it doesn't seem to, does it? Yeah. You know, and our friend Glenn Kay, who we had on the show a little while ago, who wrote the book about zombies, he said that he's doing more stuff with zombies again, with more books and things like that. So clearly this whole zombie phenomenon is not going away anytime soon.
Also, our good friend John Miore, who's been on the show, who's been in 78 zombie movies.
So, you know, just very quickly, our good friend John Miore that we just mentioned, he is actually going to be playing a zombie in the remake of Plan 9 from Outer Space. It's actually called P9, and he's actually flying down somewhere in the States. I don't know exactly where, but they're actually remaking Ed Wood's version of Plan 9 from Outer Space, and they're making it as a serious actual zombie kind of movie. So this and the good thing about this is that I think his name's Conrad Brooks or Conrad something or other.
Conrad Black.
I don't think it's Conrad Black. But they got the one surviving cast member of the Plan 9 from Outer Space movie has actually given his blessing to this new Plan 9 from Outer Space movie.
Chris, I don't know why. I just remembered. You ever go to the Detroit comic show?
Yeah.
And you'd walk by the poor guy. He was the lone surviving munchkin. The midget. Remember? And he would be upset.
I think they'd like to be called little people.
I'm sorry. They're not called midgets? Well, he was, you know... he was in the Wizard of Oz, the Munchkin.
Yeah.
You know, he sang that song, Oompa, Doompa,
Well, stop. You got it totally wrong.
I got it wrong?
First of all, the song you were just singing was from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Okay, I got the mix up.
He's saying the lollipop. We represent the lollipop.
Yeah, that's the one. Okay, I got them wrong. Yeah. Okay, all right. Okay, but the point was that you walk down the aisle and people would want to take a picture with him, and yeah. He would get mad because you wouldn't pay him. Remember that guy?
Right, yeah, I remember. So. But I mean, at that same convention, remember there was that guy that was like, you know, I played Stormtrooper number 4, you know? So you're like, okay, I don't really know if you know what you're doing here, so who knows, right?
Never mind. Anyway, that's good. All right, let's move along. Hey, some serious topics now. The Eisner Award nominees have been announced. And, of course, these are the awards handed out at Comic-Con in July in San Diego. These are the International Industry Awards for the best everything. They're like the, you know, how the Canada has the Schuster Awards.
Yes, yes. It's the American version of the...
Right, and they're like the Oscars, I guess, to our Junos or whatever.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah, you know, this is great. This happens every year at the San Diego Comic-Con. I guess the people just call it Comic-Con. But we've got things like Best Writer, which, you know what? This is something that I love to see. I don't want to spend too much time on any of the categories, but in Best Writer, they've got Ian Boothby is nominated for the comic book guy Futurama Comics comic. So, I mean, here's a chance where... Here's a comic that was based on the Simpsons comic that was being nominated for Best Writer, and I think that's fantastic.
You're right, and you got to throw in John Layman from Chew. Yeah. I guess some honorable mention. I mean, he's also a candidate for Image.
Yeah.
Some of the main categories, Chris, like you said, we're not going to do them all, but also Best Writer and Artist. Best Writer / Artist, you got Terry Moore in there for Echo.
Darwin Cook, Richard Starks, Parker the Outfit.
Right.
You've got Dan Close, which was, you know, has been around for a long time for Wilson,
which was a cool book by the way.
And then
I leafed through it.
Yeah, it's great. And then you've got Best Penciler Inker or Penciler Inker Team. You've got Richard Corbin for Hellboy, which is fantastic. Here's a guy that's been around for forever, like, you know, doing all those Den comic books back in Heavy Metal magazine, and then he does all this cool stuff for Hellboy, and now he's finally getting recognized. This is fantastic.
Good for him. You also got Best Cover Artist. You have David Peterson for Mouse Guard, like a perennial out there.
Yep.
That's a cool. The only thing, as a retailer, retailer speaking,
yes,
I hate Mouse Guard,
and I'm gonna guess why. Can I guess why?
Guess why?
Is it because it's an odd shaped book?
Odd shaped book.
Yeah.
God, I hate it.
Yeah.
And if you're a collector, where the hell do you put
what
it
do you
in
do
your
with
collection?
It can't go in your comic book
if
box.
If you're a reseller, how do you put it in a bin?
Yeah.
If you're a merchandiser, how do you merchandise it in your store?
Yeah, I agree.
I'm sorry, Oscar Peterson. David Peterson. Hello. David, take a merchandising course. Take a sales course.
I think Oscar Peterson, I think he, you know, I love
he it. He made hot dogs, didn't he?
I love it when Oscar Peterson makes comics and hot dogs. You know, right. It's not like he's a Canadian jazz musician or anything.
Right. Well, my point, though, is, hello, come on. My point, though, is, you know, everybody wants to make a go of it in this racket.
Right, you know? Right.
And Mr. Peterson there... He could probably make that format change and help himself out.
Absolutely.
Help his retailers out.
Absolutely.
Help his fans out. And
for sure,
You know, pretty well help this bit out right here on the radio.
help you out anyways.
Help me out here.
All right, listen. You know what? Before we continue on here, I have to, you know, Walt, we actually have a few more listeners to the show. I didn't tell you about this earlier because I wanted to make a bit of a surprise.
Oh.
But we have a few more listeners, and I told them that I would give them a shout out, and this is going out to the Kemper's girls at the greenhouses. I want to thank you for listening. Apparently, they like the show. They listen to us, and I just want to say thanks a lot for all the Kemper girls out there.
Well, wait a minute. What are Kemper girls?
First of all, it's Kemper with a K.
Kemper. What are they?
It's a bunch of girls that listen to the show, and they work at there's a greenhouse, the Kemper's greenhouses that work out in the Greensville, Dundas area, sort of Flamborough area, and they listen to the show every week, and I was told to give them a shout out, so I'm giving them a shout out.
Well, that is awesome. Girls, welcome. I mean, not welcome. And thanks for listening. Chris and I will be at the Gown and Gavel on Friday night. So if you're going to come by for some drinks, that would be great. Chris is buying.
Well, actually, I'll be in Pittsburgh this weekend. Oh. So Walt will be all alone.
I will meet you all there. Chris.
Oh, sorry. Apparently, our engineer James is going to come down there as
right
well.
Oh, right on. And hold on. Apparently, my wife is coming too. Chris, best continuing series. Let's keep going, but there's just one more best series. What is the best series? What's up for the Eisner on the best series? We got Scalped. We got Lock and Key. We got Echo. We got Chew. We got some really, really good, good.
Yeah.
Properties. Good items that come out.
Yeah, you know what's really great too is that it's for best continuing series, we've got, as you said, Scalped and Morning Glories by Nick Spencer.
You're right. Morning Glories. Yeah. You're right.
And for best new series, we've also got, one of the things, I mean, iZombie, which isn't really a huge surprise because it's got zombie stuff, but that's by Michael Allred as well and Chris Robertson. But also we've got Superboy, which I'm really happy about because it's by Jeff Lemire and Pierre Gallo. And, of course, Jeff Lemire is our buddy who did... what's the heck of the name of that book? Jeff Lemire.
Sweet Tooth.
Sweet Tooth.
Blue Tooth.
Right. Sweet Tooth. That's what I was thinking of. All right.
Chris, you know.
And Essex County. That's the other
one. Yeah, it just came to me. We need a zombie co-host. Maybe, just like a continue. Zombies just work. You put a zombie in something and it's success.
So exactly what kind of contribution would the zombie make?
Yeah, I haven't got that far yet. Oh, okay. Right? But I'm working on that. Chris, great idea in Boston. No, actually down in Brooklyn.
Yeah. The Bronx.
Sorry, Bronx. They have the 5th annual Kids Comic Con happening this weekend coming up, the 16th. April 16th, yep. Saturday. The Kids Comic Con. So this is a Comic Con, but forget about your...
Forget about all
Power
like,
Girl.
Whoa! Yeah. You can't forget about
this
Power
is
Girl.
A kids' Comic Con. This is a Comic Con with Scooby Doo comics in it. With all kinds.
You know
of
what?
Comics
I mean, this is a comic convention based solely around kids. So there's going to be all kinds of artists and writers who do kids' comics. There's not going to be a whole lot of like Harley Yee selling their multi-million dollar comics out there.
This is to promote literacy.
That's right. That's right. So
right. Can you imagine though, Chris? Can you imagine the cosplay happening down there?
Oh,
can you imagine like the Dora the Explorer walking
by? That'd be great. Hey, I would love to see
Dora.
That. Yeah. You know what? There was at the convention last weekend. There was a family of people that were all dressed up, and there was like a little Doc Ock, and it was fantastic.
That would be cool. There'd be like a Barney walking around, but like he'd be getting the crap beat out of him by all the other kids because apparently it's cool to beat up Barney. That's what my kids.
Oh well, I wouldn't know about that, but anyways, I think it's great. I think this is something that I think Toronto or one of the major metropolitan areas should have their own version.
Absolutely right. Yeah. We in Canada, we need a kids Comic Con.
Yep.
All right, Chris. Moving on, we have local comic.
Yeah,
news. Local as in Southern Ontario. We have the perennial, the stalwart. What do you call these? This comic shop of comic shops.
Yeah.
The Silver Snail in Toronto.
Yes.
The Queen Street West Mecca.
They are moving. You know, I know a friend of mine, George Zotti, who's the manager there, and I myself worked for a particular Silver Snail location in Hamilton for geez, 10 years or something like that. So Silver Snail is the comic book store to visit when you're in Toronto. Silver Snail is the store that, you know, Harrison Ford went to an hour earlier to make sure that he got in without before the crowds got there. When they interviewed Robin Williams at a sporting event, they said, you know, what's your favorite part about Toronto? And he said, the Silver Snail comic book store. You know, it's like, it is one of these you know, their own mecca of places to go to if you're in at all interested in comic books.
Burton Cummings
is a huge fan.
If you don't know, guess who? He also a huge comic book collector.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And every once in a while, you'll see him on stage wearing a comic book related T-shirt.
Beautiful.
Anyway, so
they're moving out to where?
So George Zotti is the manager. Ron Van Leeuwen has finally decided to sell the business. I don't know all the particulars, but George Zotti, and apparently there's another gentleman involved. I don't know the name. Will be taking over the business of Silver Snail. And they're going to be moving to the Annex, which is really cool because the Annex is a part of Toronto that already has both Labyrinth and The Beguiling.
Amazing stores.
Yeah, so the Labyrinth is like really high on like really cool art and you know, European artists and stuff like that. The Beguiling is all about underground and alternative comic books. And now you've got the Silver Snail, which is like pushing mainstream comic books to the limit. So you know what? This is a great fit. If you want to make a pilgrimage to Toronto for comics, this is the area to go to. So absolutely fantastic idea.
Yeah, so good news. The Snail fans, I don't think we should be more. I think we should be rejoicing.
For sure.
They're going to move. They're going to make it work. And like you said, you head into that area, you'll have three stores to go to.
All right. Sounds good. Well, you know what? Speaking of comics, we've got a little bit more musical interludes going on here. So why not a little Josie and the Pussycats?
Chris, I could tell your favorite songs really easily.
Okay, you know what? I didn't know that I played this last week. Are you sure I played it last week? Really? Oh, our engineers. Okay, you know what? That's fine. I'll have to go to a different section on my computer. I didn't realize it.
Absolutely right. Up back.
Yeah, clearly.
Hey, let's talk about...
You know what? Maybe you can do the music next time. Maybe you'd like to do that, huh? Is that what you want to do?
Hey, let's talk a little bit about, again, a Free Comic Book Day, which we will be talking about at the end of every show, hopefully, until Free Comic Book Day.
Yes.
And, of course, we want everybody to go out to their local comic book stores on Free Comic Book Day, which is on Saturday, May the 7th.
Does that mean that this section of the show has been brought to you by Free Comic Book Day?
This section of the show... is brought to you by Free Comic Book Day. On May 7th, head into your local comic book shop and grab some free comic books.
That's great. You know what? You know, you were doing a great job already. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Please continue.
Right. Sorry, I missed that sponsor, but let's keep going. Free Comic Book Day. You're going to head into your local store. They're going to... pull out all the stops to entertain you, to give you free comics, to give you treats and food and all that
treats.
Kind of stuff.
Treats.
I wanted to do today was mention a few comic shops that you should go visit if you're in that area.
Right.
And in Kitchener, we have Kitchener, Ontario, Looking for Heroes. They are going to have... Mel Taylor there, who's a writer on Caliber Presents, Negative Burn, and Growing Up with Comics. They also have people dressed up as costumes
nice,
and stuff like
nice.
That. So, and the reason I mentioned Kitchener is, of course, that's soft spot for me because it's the hometown to Now and Then Comics.
Right, of course.
Harry Kramer, yeah. Which I believe was the second comic book store in Canada behind Captain George in Toronto, yeah. But the longest serving comic book shop in Canada. Yeah. And the...
Of course, the award is named the Schusters have an award named after Harry Kramer is for best comic book store in Canada.
Right, and so if you're in the Kitchener area on Saturday, May 7th, please head into Looking for Heroes on 93 Ontario Street South. They will make it worth your while. Let's go to Toronto.
Yep,
Paradise Comics on Yonge Street. North of Lawrence, of course, Peter Dixon was on our show a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Great guy.
The Wizard World.
Yeah. Ty Templeton will be there signing at Paradise. And Leanna Kay, a friend of yours, will be there.
Leanna Kay, who is part of the half of the team of the Ed the Sock show. She's actually said she wants to be on our radio show.
Chris, I'm so thankful that you and I do the show together. You're my good buddy. And that I can rely on you to send Leanna Kay to a competitive comic shop rather than mine on Free Comic Book Day.
First of all, this is
what it's all about.
Hey, you know what? I tried to set you up with some good hosts, but no, you got to go ahead and get Richard Comley. Like, he's never done anything.
He's done everything. What are you talking about?
I'm joking.
I know what you're saying, but Leanna Kay and Richard, who knows? You know, maybe afterwards they could have went out for a few drinks.
That's scary. Anyways, okay. Let's keep on going here. In Oakville, we've got at the Comic Connection, we've got Mike Ruth, who's a local comic book artist. He'll be doing some sketches and stuff like that for fans. And in Barrie, at the Blue Beetle Comics, they're also going to have artist Ryan O'Reilly, who is doing some free sketches. And apparently they're going to have a barbecue and cupcakes and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, up in Barrie, they're doing a charity barbecue for the Halo Foundation, which is a foundation that... helps orphans through art, I guess, would be the description of what they do. So, and of course, we don't have time to rhyme through the thousands of comic shops in North America that will be hosting Free Comic Book
And, of course, events. Your own Big B Comics.
Yeah, we'll be
stuff
doing
well.
Stuff, too. So, you know what? Wherever you live, wherever you are, phone your local comic shop, look in the yellow pages, go online or whatever, and just, hey, ask them, hey, what's going on Free Comic Book Day, Saturday, May 7th?
Yep.
And you know what? You'll have a great time.
Okay, you know what? We're running out of time here. Just very, very quickly here before we end the show, I got to tell you, I went on the Acura website now is promoting the Thor movie because I guess in the...
Acura, as in car.
The car, yeah. Acura, the car, is promoting the Thor movie because apparently all, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. is like Nick Fury as of S.H.I.E.L.D. of Nick Fury. Well, apparently all the S.H.I.E.L.D. cars are going to be Acura cars. And so now if you go on to the Acura website, if you go on to www.joinshield.com, you can actually log in as a S.H.I.E.L.D. member and create your own S.H.I.E.L.D. website and all that kind of stuff. And you can become like as if you're part of like Nick Fury's team, like Dum Dum Dugan or Sharon Carter or something like that.
Wow. So yeah. What? You get to win a car?
Well, there's exclusive stuff that you can see on the Thor movie. And speaking of exclusive stuff here, also, if you go to the Slurpee.com, the 7-Eleven Slurpee, S-L-U-R-P-E-E, if you go to Slurpee.com, they actually have a special Thor behind-the-scenes trailer, so you can check out everything that's going on with Thor these days.
Chris, it's obvious to me, that you have, you know... sponsors padding your pockets that you're not telling me about.
Well, I don't think I do, but you know what? It's all for the comic community. But anyways, Walt, it looks like we're running out of time here.
Yes, and Comic Culture has been produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by James McIntosh. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Hit the podcast link, scroll down to the bottom, and please enter your comments in the comments field.
Thank you for listening to our show today. Please go out and support your local comic book retailer.
Yes, and remember, C is for comics, and that's good enough for me.
Have yourself a great day. Bye.